so I hope this week has been an extension of the Easter celebration. I know sometimes in the middle of a week it doesn't feel like an extension of the resurrection, but we try to hold on to it. And for me, one of the ways that I can do that is to look for Easter people. I try, you know, a faith unexamined is really not a faith worth much at all. We must examine our faith. We must look at what does it mean. The resurrection is not an easy thing to grasp, to understand. And so somehow I think it's coming to understand the mystery, to understand and to believe that Jesus Christ did rise. But it's very important for us to see it, to see it in the goodness of people, to see it in the integrity of people's lives, to see it in the good works that people somehow have come to because they do believe and walk with Jesus Christ. So for me, I don't know about for you, but for me, it isn't just a sterile dogma, not something I just assent to. It's something I look for, something that I try to find so that I can see it and believe it, my Lord and my God. And so this week, I suppose for all of us, Bubba Watson was one of those people, huh? I listened to him. I missed his interview on Piers Morgan the other night, so I listened to him last night. He was on pretty late. I got home from a wonderful Smash auction gift-giving celebration at the Putnams, which was just wonderful. And so I was up a little bit later, and there he was. And what amazes me is that this man, this young man, of course, I'm a golfer. I try to be a golfer, so I'm interested in that. And how does a guy do what he did and not take lessons ever in his life? And then that miraculous, that was an Easter blessing by God. That shot, you know, that was a left, I guess it was whatever it was. Anyway, that cut around and was in a few yards of the hole. I tried to be attentive to him, and I don't know too much about him, but he just seems like a very wonderful, a joyful fellow that's got, you know, a great view of his dad. He loved his dad, and he began to cry, and there were tears because of the memory of his father and trying to live in that. And I said, you know, that's something good, that he was blessed with a good father. Some of us are, some of us are not. I mean, that's reality. But there it is. There's a man who saw something good there in his dad, and as a result of it, did his best to try to live up to it. Then this man at Newark, that mayor, I think his name is Cory Booker. He, I guess, has been a mayor since 06. I don't know anything about him, but he was coming home. He lives in the slums of Newark, even as the mayor of the city. And he's coming home, and there's this fire right next to his place. And he's being held back by the guy that's his detective or whoever he was. But he gets through that and goes in. And what he said this now in the Los Angeles Times, believe it or not, and in the New York Times, if you can believe this. He said, when I was in that fire, he said it was like a Jesus moment for me. He said it radically, because he was so afraid. He was afraid that he was not going to get out of that fire. But he came to believe that God was with him there, and that Christ was literally going to somehow help to save that woman. It was a beautiful testimony of someone, I guess, a person of faith, doing his best to be a good neighbor. That's what he said. He said, "I'm just a neighbor. Don't make me a hero. I'm just a neighbor trying to do my best to make a difference in this world." So today's gospel is the gospel that I think is something for us to really consider. Because in it, we have the secret, I think, to good discipleship. In it, we have the secret of how we live the resurrection of Jesus Christ. First of all, and by the way, the Acts of the Apostles, you know, that first reading where everything was wonderful and we're all sharing our goods, I think that was the ideal. I actually don't think that actually happened. I actually think that's where people were striving to do. But I don't know that we're even there yet, where we have that kind of goodness and care and love for each other, that everything is wonderful, and we lay at the feet of the disciples, you know. At least nothing is laid before my feet, so I'm still looking for it. But anyway, there it is. But the gospel today is a very critical piece. So, we have his disciples. They've just witnessed his death. What do? They run. They lock the door. Scripture said the door was locked tight for fear of the Jews. So they're fearful that what happened to Jesus, their master, is now going to happen to them. So they're afraid. They're frozen in their fear. That's what they're frozen in. Our Lord goes through that locked door, stands before them, and what are his first words? Peace be with you. That's his word. Peace. So he steadies them. He gives them a little word, a secret, a little encouragement. Peace. Peace be with you. And then he says something that I ponder every day of my life. He said, my brothers, my sisters, whatever sins you forgive, whatever hurts you forgive, whatever mistakes of your life and the life of your brothers and sisters, they are forgiven. But what you retain, they are retained. So it wasn't just a reference to me in that box hearing confession. It was a reference for all of us. If we want to live out of fear, if we want to get out of a locked room, if we want to live in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we've got to find the breath. He said, the scriptures say, John says, he breathed on them. He breathed the Holy Spirit on them. He gave them the Holy Spirit. And that's what you and I pray for today. That somehow that Holy Spirit will breathe into this beautiful community of St. Monica's today. Breathe into us the gift of the Spirit. And that secondly, with that breath of our God, it will steady us. It will give us a peace, an inner peace. We won't be fighting and quarreling and upset and anxious and fearful. We'll find some peace somewhere in the midst of our swirl. But to maintain it, we've got to learn to forgive. That's the hard thing. Because people hurt us. People offend us. People do all kinds of things. Even our own families at times betray us. How do we do that? My brothers and sisters, I don't know any other way. It's not natural. It's not in our nature. Because our nature is wounded. And by nature, we want to get even, fight back, you know. Don't you? I do. I'm sorry, I do. But our Lord says, whose sins you forgive, they're forgiven. Whose sins you retain, you're holding on. And then you become them. You retain it. See, that doesn't help. It's of no value. Now, you may not be able to kowtow to these people. You may not be able to do what they think that they think that you think they should do. But you've got to be able to, inside yourself, to walk in peace and forgiveness. I got a letter from someone this week that blasted me right out of the water and probably sent it to the Pope. I don't know. But And I was so angry. You know, I wanted a poison pen. You know how you do that right back? Because I can do that. But I just said, no, I'm not going to do that. Wrote him back and said, you know, probably right. I'm an old pastor and I need, you know, maybe I'm too long in the saddle. Maybe I need to be reminded. Thank you. Thank you for your letter of correction. Thank you. Now, I don't know if I meant every word, but I want to act my way into good thinking. You know what I'm saying to you? I want to act my way into it. So at least now, instead of stewing about the fact that I blasted him back and what is he going to respond to? No, you know, it's there it is. It's his. So be it. Yeah. So I think, my brothers and sisters, Thomas is the person for us today. Thomas is the one who I think seals the deal. This is what happens. Then I'm going to let you go. Thomas. Well, actually, I'm not going to let you go. I've got one more last thing. Thomas says, I will not believe. And you see, I don't think that's wrong for Thomas to say that. We always say, oh my God, what's wrong with this guy? I mean, he was with Christ. How could he not believe? No. An unexamined faith is not worth our living. So he questioned, and it's okay to question. I think it's okay. I doubt a lot. Don't you question? Of course we do. But the issue isn't that Thomas questioned. The issue is Thomas was blind to the fact that these people who were his conferors changed. He didn't see it. They went from frozen behind a locked door to going out and preaching Jesus Christ crucified to everybody in Jerusalem. So the mistake of Thomas wasn't his doubt, I think. It was that he didn't have the wisdom to see the goodness, the change, the fact that Christ actually steadied these people, gave them the secret, and they went out and did what he asked them to do. So I think that's the mistake of Thomas, if there was a mistake. So I think Thomas is the patron of good doubters. As long as we keep in mind that the answer is there before us, if we just look and find it in those we love, and maybe in those we don't love, the resurrected Jesus Christ. So yesterday, I had the great privilege yesterday, my final thought, great privilege yesterday of visiting some wonderful people at St. Monica's that I never much get a chance to do anymore. And it's my great sin to go around and visit the homebound, people in hospitals, people that were once a part of us but are now no longer present to us. And so I went to call, first of all, the people on the list that said, welcome home, they want to welcome. So I got about 6 or 7 calls, and I've got 2 or 3 people for the new RCIA program. So that's good news from Easter Sunday. The great blessing of that, they're interested in learning more about our church again and coming back, and that's wonderful. Then I went out and visited these folks, and I met one person. And I don't want to share the identity of that person because it's none of your business, none of my business. But this family have lived next door to this woman who's now 90. And they've been telling me that they've been bringing her communion, but she really didn't want to see any priest. Just didn't want to see a priest. And it's been on my mind for some time because, you know, you never know what it's all about and you don't know what mistakes we make and all that kind of stuff. So yesterday, because I had 2 days of silence this week, I was alone for 2 days, and my God, it was wonderful. Try it sometime. Try to be alone for 2 days and don't talk. Imagine Lloyd Torgerson not talking for 2 days, but there I was. So I came back with some fire. So I said, I'm going to take a chance. I called the person. I said, so I rang the little buzzer, you know. Hello, she said. Young voice. And I said, hi, this is Monsignor Torgerson, and I'm just here to visit and bring you the Eucharist. And there was a pause. And I thought, uh-oh. Because she lived on the upper floor. And after a pause for a few moments, I heard, bzzz, so she let me in. So up I went. And we chatted. And she was very gracious. But she told me her story. 68 years ago, a priest, not in this community, threw her out because she was not marrying a Catholic. Now, he said some very unfortunate things. I don't need to repeat them. But just tough. You know, the tough. First of all, there's no such thing, but tough. So I listened to her, paid attention to it, and she's very active. She's 90. She goes shopping. She's on her own. She's doing great. You know? I looked at her and I said, sister, if I look that good at 90, I'm happy to live that long, you know. And I said to her, I hear that. And I just want to say something to you. Someday there'll be another pastor sitting in this room. And someone will say, you know, that Monsignor Torgerson, he was tough. And I didn't come back. Because I've made plenty of mistakes. I have. And I hope that pastor in 68 years will have the sense to say what I'm going to say to you now. Sister, that guy was dead wrong. And I'm very, very sorry. I'm very sorry. Please forgive us. That wonderful woman was full of life. She showed me pictures of her family and shared with me the joy. And then she prayed when I gave her the Eucharist. She prayed that the Lord would never, never abandon her. And I said, hey, our Lord never changes his mind. He never will change his mind, no matter what we do. Our God will never change his mind about us. So we're okay. So I think it's a challenge for you and me. It was a great privilege for me yesterday. That's all God's grace. Nothing to do with it. It was all his grace. All God's grace. To him be the glory. But I think we need to do it too. I think we need to catch the breath of what Jesus gives to us on this Resurrection Sunday. And I don't know if it's in your family, if it's in your relationships, if it's in friendship, wherever it is. Whatever you can do on Divine Mercy Sunday to share in the mercy of our God, I think that's what we need to do. I think we need to do it. I think it will bring peace. I think it will restore our Easter strength. It'll take us from the frozen places that we sometimes find ourselves because of fear. And it doesn't matter what the response is. What matters is that we find, once again, the great gift of Easter.